Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the latest in the Pig Odyssey, probably the world's most wide-ranging study, in podcast form at least, of pigs that's ever been attempted so far. Are you feeling nervous, Sam?
What, about the pressure that's on us to deliver?
Yeah, because I'm beginning to feel it every time we sit down to do one of these.
The world's
feels
eyes.
Though we're contributing to history and the pressure is on.
I feel like, what's his name? James Herriot. All Creatures Great and Small. You know, like, he was a great documenter of natural life, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the series about his childhood, which was called My Family and Other Animals?
Now, that was Gerald Durrell.
Oh, fuck it.
My Family and Other Animals, because I know that because we read that at school.
Well, Gerald Durrell, is he the same sort of caper, likes animals?
No, completely different.
Right, what was his
Gerald
vibe?
Gerald Durrell, I think he grew up abroad somewhere on an island, and there was like exotic animals and stuff. That it wasn't just common or garden.
Yeah, but
you know, like pigs and rats and stuff.
Okay, but he's still into animals.
Oh, he's into animals. Okay, yeah, balls right. Deep. Yeah,
thank God.
But James Herriot, that's not his real name. His real name was, because he's not with us anymore, his real name was Alf White, and White spelt as in the Isle of Wight, not as in White the colour. And he grew up, well, I don't know if he grew up there, but he lived in Thirsk, which is a place of interest to Top Flight Time Machine.
Yeah.
Of course, the location of one of our greatest ever live shows. He practiced as a vet, obviously, because that's how he got all the stories. In Thirsk, he was called Alf White, and I think he was the life president of Sunderland Football Club. He was a Sunderland fan as well.
Yeah.
So that's all the stuff I know about James Herriot. That and the fact that he used to stick his hand up cows' arses.
Mate, that's a lot. That's actually a lot of information you've just delivered on Durrell and Herriot. So give yourself a small round of applause, because off the cuff, that's pretty good. I didn't know either of those names were going to come up, but they did. And you just were like, bang, I've got data on both the cunts.
Yeah. Well, I got lucky. I mean, I think there's like you can visit maybe James Herriot's vet surgery now in Thirsk, or maybe there's some kind of museum or whatever, I'm not sure. But that was where
you
he
know
was from.
All Creatures Great and Small. I feel like it's the sort of show that was always on a Saturday, I think. On when we were kids. I didn't watch it much. Was it a show that you could describe as lovely?
Yeah, it was lovely, but it had a bit of an edge to it, because Robert Hardy played the elder of the Farnham brothers in it.
Was he basically, was he the equivalent of Boss Hogg? Because it was basically the I thought when I was a kid that British television had seen Dukes of Hazzard and they'd thought, right, we need an answer to this, because the Americans, the Americans are fucking knocked it out of the park this time. We need the British version of it. And I thought that's what All Creatures Great and Small was, our answer. Because it's the same thing, it's two blokes, they've got a car. Thanks, I've just been handed a coffee. They've got a car, nice. And they're in the countryside. No, yeah. And there's a sort of a portly boss figure / baddie. And I just thought it was our version of Dukes of Hazzard, and that guy was Boss Hogg.
No, well, he was one of the brothers. He was part of the team.
Oh, right.
You had what's his name?
Doctor Who.
Christopher Timothy.
Christopher Timothy was the king of the voiceovers, so I resented him, you know, when I was a busy voiceover artist. I didn't resent him. He was like, him and this guy called N. Reitel, they were like, that was the
benchmark. Oh, I know who N. Reitel
is. That was the benchmark, right? Those were the guys who were like, who we all wanted to be. So Christopher Timothy was like, he had a lovely velvety voice, reassuring, trustworthy, real depth
like yours.
To it. Yeah, similar. Like yours. Yeah, a lot. Like my agent was punting me round town as like the 21st century Christopher Timothy. Yeah. Oh, great! We'd love to hear his showreel because we're looking for a new voiceover for Imperial Leather Soap, and we wanted Christopher Timothy, but we hear he's gone a bit croaky as he's got older. So we can't wait to hear this guy that everyone's talking about, Sam Delaney. Here's the script. Can you get him to just record it and send it to us?
Imperial Leather. Get yourself nice and clean. Don't forget to wash under your balls, though. All the best. Ta-da.
First of all, his voice wasn't at all what we were expecting. It wasn't what we were expecting, or, to be fair, what you described him as. And second of all, he strayed from the script pretty radically. I mean, we're hiring a voiceover writer. It's not a script writer. No, he does insist on he insists on freestyling with the script. It's actually a deal breaker for him. He will never stick to a script.
You mentioned N. Reitel there. He was the star of a very vaguely remembered sitcom called Mog.
Oh yeah,
it used to be on a Sunday night on ITV, 10 p.m. the spitting image slot. And, I've just had a look. And apparently it was written by Clement and Lafreniere, who, of course, did Avidus and Pet and Likely Lads.
Very much
Porridge.
Gentlemen of Honour, Humans of Honour, those
yeah.
two.
Yeah. So there's at least one episode of that on YouTube. I might have to reinvestigate
Clement
that.
And Lafreniere are two men who we would have to unretire the humans at the short-lived Humans of Honour series for.
Yeah, definitely. N. Reitel, I think he did voices on Spit and Image as well.
Yeah.
Or,
He did everyone. Do you remember that phone? It was like a phone, an old fashioned phone with a receiver, and it talked. I think it was for insurance, and he'd always go like this: he had a similar vibe to that fucking paperclip cunt who used to always pop up when you were using your computer.
Yeah.
You go, like that, and it was like...
Here I am.
Need some insurance to your cunts. You better get it. What's it for? Driving or Millwall? Either way, I'm your man.
Direct line?
That's it.
It might have been direct line.
But he did them all, and I actually... Yeah. The Guardian once got me to write... They discovered that I had this burgeoning voiceover career in the noughties. And they said, will you write an article about your experiences of being a voiceover artist and about the scene? So I said, I will. And they said, will you also speak to some other voiceover artists? Are there such things as legends in that industry? And I went, oh, there's fucking legends, all right.
But I'm not allowed to talk to them.
And I fucking, turns out, I didn't know this at the time, but I had the same agent as N. Reitel, same voiceover agent. So right. I go, listen, I'm writing this article. I need to speak to N. Reitel. And they go, oh, well. And you know what? This is N. Reitel. This is going to blow your mind because N. Reitel was living the Dawson dream. Do you know what he'd done? He'd made that much money. Because in the 80s, when you were doing voiceovers, you got repeats, right? Which meant that you would agree a fee to record it, which would be fairly large if you were N. Reitel. But then on top of that, you would get a set amount every time it went out. So if you were doing a big campaign for a major brand that was running ads a lot in primetime slots, you'd be getting shit tons, and sometimes it would run forever. By the time I got involved in the game, there was a little bit of that about. I think I got it on a couple of smallish campaigns, made a bit of doubt of them. But on the whole, what they'd do is they'd buy you out. So they'd offer you a lump sum, and then that would give them the right to run the ad as many times as they wanted. And, it's fine. And the fees got reduced and blah, blah, blah. But N. Reitel rode the wave before it all got reformed, right? And legend had it that what he would do is he would turn up in Soho with or without bookings, 9 o'clock, sit in the cafe, and then as the day went on, in the pub, right? And just have brilliant. His and he would let his agent know where he was before mobile phones, and the phone would start ringing round about 9, and he'd get his first booking, and all the sound studios were in, you know, half a square mile in Soho, right? Yeah. A network of about 4 streets. So he'd stroll to one, do it, come out, go back to the cafe. There'd be a message waiting for him. Right, you want in on Wardour Street now? Go around there.
Brilliant.
And when I tracked him down, very much Colonel Kurtz to my fucking Martin Sheen, right? The cunt's fucking retired to California. He's living on a fucking ranch. And I've gone to him something along the lines of, so, you know, I was being cheeky going, so you must be minted, mate. And he goes, well, Sam, as I speak to you now, I'm sitting overlooking a canyon from my bedroom window, you know, describing the scene of like sheer semi-retired Californian luxury. Yeah. And by this stage, of course, there was, I mean, it wasn't quite where we're at now, where you could record voiceovers just using fucking Zoom, probably. But he'd got
down the line.
He'd got an ISDN line and a home studio bill, so he could carry on. But if you wanted him by that stage, you'd have to pay a whopping fee. And if he did it, he'd get out of bed in his silk pajamas and his dressing gown, shuffle down to the studio, knock the voiceover out first time because he's the pro, right? The pro of pros. And bank the fucking dough, mate. So our sort of retirement podding rig, Enrightel is the trailblazer for that. He did it. The man did it.
I'm surprised he actually spoke to you, because I thought the voice would have been maintained, you know, stored in aspic. You know, he would have been gargling with honey every day. He would have had a large towel around his neck.
In his heyday.
Keep his throat warm.
In his heyday, yes. He would have been like that, but you got to understand, by the time I spoke to him, he's like, I keep me hand in. If a job comes up that I find motivates me, if it's a project that has a philosophy I believe in, such as a worldwide Febreze campaign by Saatchi & Saatchi, I may do it. As long as it takes me no more than 5 fucking minutes and I don't have to leave my house, right? Back in the day, of course, I got a gig and... I did the Smash Hits chart show, which was a collaboration between Channel 5 and Smash Hits, the magazine, and it was like me voicing the chart. In the end, it turned into another show called The Chart, which ran for a couple of years, right? But when it first started, for the pilot episode, I had this show on Channel 5 called The Edit. It ran for a year, and then the commissioning bloke, producer guy at Channel 5, he goes, look, Sam, we're not renewing. We're not renewing your contract, right?
Listen, it's as simple as this.
Are you going to renew my contract? I mean, I was pretty young, so I could sort of take it in my stride. And I was like,
whatever.
I didn't have many overheads. And I was like, oh, okay, that's a shame. Can I do another television programme? And he went, well, I tell you what I'm going to give you. We're going to start doing a chart show, but it's voice only, right? And he said something like, so it's just voiceover. We want you to sort of co-write the script with the producer. And then, like, basically you're doing a countdown of the chart. You're doing links over pop songs every week, right?
Not in the voice that you do it on Tune Machine these days, though. No,
I had to do it in the voice that I was using in the early noughties, right? Because I was doing the MTV continuity as well. This week on the fucking Kardashians, right? And all that stuff. I was doing all the fucking MTV stuff. So I had
that could come back, you know. That could come back on the back of this podcast.
No. There's a couple of tragic stories about the way in which the heyday of my voiceover works came crashing down. But on this particular occasion,
was this before your voice broke? Then were you a bit like Alan Jones? Once your voice broke, that was
balls it. Didn't drop until I was 32, which a lot of people tease me about, but it was actually quite lucrative.
It was the making of me.
So he goes, look, you can do this show and it'll mean the, you know, you've got something to keep earning some money out of it. I think he was throwing me a bone, you know. It was nice of him, he was a nice guy. So I go, all right. And I thought, well, I need this. It was quite good money. And on the pilot show, I had to get a, they were sending a taxi for me to go to some studio in East London. But in the days leading up to it, I don't know what I'd been doing, probably not living a good lifestyle, and my voice was fucked, right? I fucked my throat, like, big time. And I was like, this is fucking sod's law here, right? I've got this new voice job coming up, and this is going to come and fuck me. So I went to the GP, and I told them, I said, listen, I've got a new job, and it just relies on my voice. And if I miss this pilot episode, they'll have to get someone else to do it, and then that's it. It's a year's contract fucked. You got to give me whatever it takes, Doc, to fix this throat now. And the doc says,
you got to help me, Doc.
It was like that. And the doc said, all right, well, I wouldn't usually do this, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you steroids, right? And it came in a like an asthma inhaler, but it was a steroid. Right. And he said, if you take a couple of puffs on that in the morning, within 2 to 3 days, the steroids are very strong and it'll heal your throat. But it's very strong. I only take 2 sprays. Well, you know me, Andy. I was never going to fucking moderate this fucking thing, right?
This is what killed Keith Moon.
Steroid.
He was on pills to make him stop wanting to have booze. And he was just popping them like Smarties in the end because he had no control over it.
Yeah, that's the problem. So I
but
got
you
this
survived.
I got this inhaler. Well, I almost didn't because I started fucking smashing into this inhaler, right? Because after the first go, I could feel it working almost immediately. Steroids are mad like that, aren't they? They're like magical. So I'm like, this is fucking great. Not only is my voice going to get back to normal, I think it might go beyond normal and get better than it ever was. So I'm like, bang, 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 bang.
Super voice.
The morning came and my girlfriend's going, fuck's sake, lay off that fucking inhaler. And I'm like, nah, I need to make sure I'm double fucking good.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
The taxi turns up, right? Oh, no, it wasn't East London. It was Primrose Hill it was taking me to, because I remember that's how the argument started. I've got in the back of this cab and I'm fucking still at it. Bang! Puff, 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 steroid, steroid, steroid. And I've just gone fucking bananas because we get, it was before sat-nav, and we've got within the general vicinity of Primrose Hill. And we had some argument because I'd said it was like Primrose Hill Road or something. And he'd just literally taken me to the hill itself, the mad cunt. And he's going, get down, that's the hill, that's Primrose Hill. I'm going, well, it's not fucking up there. I'm here to fucking record a chart show. They're not doing it on the top of a fucking hill, you mad cunt. Don't talk to me like that. And the whole time I'm going smash, smash, smash. And I've gone fucking mad. I've gone, start the fucking car. And he won't stop it.
So Lloyd Ridge.
I've started fucking kicking the back of his seat like a maniac. Fucking bang, stop the fucking car. And he's like, ah. And he stopped the car and I fucking jumped out. And I'm trying to pull his door open and everything. He's going, you're fucking crazy. Go up that fucking hill. I'm going, I'm not going up that fucking hill. As if they're recording
you
out there.
You can't let me go up the fucking hill.
You silly cunt. Right. And in the end, he's just sped off. And
the charts aren't on the fucking hill.
I'm fucking fuming, right? Anyway, I've managed to, like, walk around, find the studio, go in, calm down, do the show, fine. In the end, it ran for a year. In the end, it was called just the chart. And, but I was like, fucking hell, I lost my fucking marbles. I went back home and my girlfriend called me from work. She said, how did it go? Did you get there? Did you get the job? Because we were like, oh, fuck, this could pay the rent, you know. And I go, yeah, I got there. The show went all right, but I lost my rag. I started trying to smash. I had an argument with the minicab driver. I started to try and smash up the minicab, and he threw me out. And she said, fuck's sake, throw that inhaler in the fucking bin. He told you just to have two pumps of it every morning.
Unlucky.
You're absolutely smashing it. You had fucking roid rage. And I realised, yeah, that's what I had. because you know, it wasn't really in character for me to go that far, not that early in the morning. And and it was, yeah, it was just fucking roid rage. But on the good side of it, I did get that job. And then it was that job that led to all the other advertising voiceover work that came in after. But then after a few years of like riding high on the hog with that as my side hustle, my best mate was working in promos, but at Sky, right? Sky Sports. Yeah. And so he hired voiceover artists a lot, but never me. Sky Sports was not one of my places. They didn't, my voice didn't fit. I was doing all the youth culture stuff, right? But then like, I'm struggling for a bit. Like the work seems to have slowed down after 2 years of back-to-back fucking work. Combination of advertising work, which is the most lucrative, and the continuity on MTV and various other channels, right? Bravo, etc. And it's starting to slow down. I'm starting to get pissed off and paranoid. I don't fucking know why. But then, as luck would have it, my best mate goes freelance. And I go, great, now you're freelance. I know they didn't use me at Sky, but you'll be going to other places where you can use me. He keeps not using me. Every time I see him, I go, why haven't you fucking booked me yet, mate? I mean, fuck's sake. I need some money. And then he's working at MTV. And I go, MTV, I've been doing, I was their main continuity guy for the last 2 years. You've got to get me there. And he goes, oh, I'll try. In the end, I've gone, I'm a bit pissed off about this now, actually. It's like you're purposefully avoiding hiring me because I'm your mate and you don't want it to look like nepotism. But fuck's sake, I need a bit of nepotism. And he's gone, Sam, look, I didn't want to tell you this, but on my first day, a new creative director started in the promos department and he sat us all down and he played out a selection of like promos and continuity bits from the last year, and he wanted to set out his new vision. These people have fucking visions. All they're doing is putting the fucking bullshit fucking little things in between the TV shows, right? But in their head they think they're fucking Scorsese. And he's got,
and of course what they want to do is just get rid of whatever had gone before, because then it makes it look like they're bringing something new to the table.
He obviously
is that what happened?
He obviously didn't know my best mate was my best mate. But he's played back.
Were you blacklisted?
Two back-to-back things with my voice on. And he's gone,
oh,
this voice belongs to a man called Sam Delaney. I never want to hear it on this channel ever again. And he,
shit.
He didn't explain why, or at least my mate didn't tell. I said, my mate told me this, and I felt really bad for my mate. He's like, he's my best mate. He's like a lovely guy, and he's really like, he's a gentle man. He's gentle, Andy. He's gentle, and he hates awkward situations. Like, he hates conflict and awkward situations. And I'd been giving him so much stick. Why don't you give me some work? Right? And then he's had to just tell me, and I could tell he'd been holding it in for ages. He didn't want to tell me, but he had to tell me, so it was the only way to shut me up and make it clear that it was never going to happen. And I just went, oh, fuck. Did he say why? And he went, no. He just left it at that, and we all made a note of your name. And I said, what? Everyone in the room actually wrote down my name. He goes, yeah. He going, I said, did you? He goes, no, I didn't have to, because I was obviously going to remember it.
I remembered it.
Yeah.
He just went, the Sam Delaney era is at an end.
Is that
meeting
an end?
Over.
Forever. Shall we tell him?
Fucking
no.
Hell.
He'll find out soon enough.
The hard way. Fucking hell.
And then not long after that, I found out that I'd lost my long-running Duracell campaign, which I've told you this one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When I gathered the kids around, when they were just sentient enough to understand that I was doing the Duracell bunny ads, I went, oh, kids, look, Duracell ad, gather around. This is Daddy's one. Gather around.
Here we go.
All excited, gets to the end, some other cunt's doing the Duracell lasts longer every time. I go, one of the kids goes, that's not your life. And I go, you know what? You're fucking right. It isn't.
Go to bed, kids.
Everyone go to bed. Daddy needs to think. Daddy needs to think. Exactly. It was one of those.
Daddy needs to strategize.
It was exactly like that. And I had to call my agent the next day. They just said, oh, yeah, they're booking someone else now. No one ever tells you, mate. Yeah. You never get
No one tells you. The phone just stops ringing.
Just stops ringing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why hopefully we're fairly secure doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell us it's over.
It's over.
Well, the listeners can by not listening anymore. But at the minute,
hang on,
it seems all right.
Couldn't someone like Buxton call up and say the guys have got together
And I don't think so.
I'm afraid we're removing your license. You know, like Boris Johnson's had his Commons pass removed.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get cancelled, I suppose.
Sir John,
we probably will do at some point, Sir John, something we've said.
Sir John Patreon.
Yeah, maybe. We'll get cancelled for something we said, you know, 5 years ago or something. That'll be retrospectively.
Danny Dyer was on this West Ham podcast recently, and I absolutely loved listening to him. He's always like, he's full of so much great wisdom, in my opinion. And they're talking to him about work and stuff, and he's so honest, going, oh, fuck it. You know, like I did it. And they're talking to him about that hooligan program that he did. And he goes, yeah, people always ask me that. It was good fun. He goes, but at the end of the day, like, I'm not a hard man. I don't like any of that. He goes, I did it. And they go, why'd you do it? It's like we always say, he goes, mate, what people don't understand is they think because they've seen you on telly that you got like endless money. He went, I was skint. I was borrowing money off my mum. He goes, I got kids. So if work comes along, I do the work. So if they come along and go make a show about hooliganism, I'll go, all right, if you're paying me, I'll fucking do it. Right?
Exactly.
And I really like that attitude. And then he goes, yeah, and then I left EastEnders. That was a good earner. But now I've just got to work again. He goes, and I go, well, how do you choose what you're doing? He goes, well, the thing about me is, I'm a fucking live cannon, aren't I? He goes, I'm a loose cannon. He goes, something I've either said or I'm going to say will at any moment get me cancelled and I'll never work again. So that's why every day I have to just keep working as much as I can because I know sooner or later I will just get stopped completely.
Yeah.
And I sort of think, respect.
I was thinking about this yesterday. I was driving along and thinking, it's all going really well. Got a couple of podcasts on the go. Quite nice, making a reasonable amount of money from it. But something that I don't even know exists could come along and blow it all away.
Oh, yeah, wow.
You know what I mean? Like a technological thing, something like, you know, AI's coming. We've got no idea where AI's going to lead to.
Mm.
Something could happen that could just reduce us to nothing.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm thinking
about. Beyond our control.
Yes, beyond your control, so don't contemplate it. That's what I say.
I wasn't worried about it. If anything, I was excited about what it might be.
Yeah. I call any challenge an opportunity.
How can I twist it?
I welcome challenges.
To suit me.
I welcome challenges. I don't call them challenges. I call them opportunities.
Opportunities.
No, opportunities. Clock. Yeah. Because it's an opportunity for an opportunity to happen.
Yeah. Oh, also, someone either emailed or tweeted us a picture of Bear Grylls' face after he'd eaten that bee.
That bee, yeah.
And it had all swelled up, so that was good. Thanks
for
that.
Well, yeah, I mean, no wonder you were driving along thinking life's going well. That was probably what triggered that line of thought.
Yeah, that's the kind
of thing. Life's going well. I've got a couple of podcasts. Like, the kids are happy. And on top of that, someone's just sent me a picture of Bear Grylls' face swollen up from a bee. Off of a bee.
But what if that's the thing? What if one of us swallows a wasp? And we can't speak anymore. Then what?
I will AI generate my voice. I'll type it and then it'll be read out. I mean, technology today, it could probably simulate my voice anyway, AI, and I'll just type the words in.
AI can probably simulate new episodes if we just feed every previous episode in and we could just generate new ones.
Yeah, that's a bit of a threat.
Probably 80% good enough.
The thing is, mate,
hey, I don't know.
Because we have studiously stuck to our values of never planning or making any effort for this show, that is what has instilled it with a unique anarchy, I would say, that it's impossible for any computer to recreate. Because you can't guess what's going to happen on Top Flight Time Machine, because we don't know. So,
I mean, I didn't foresee when we started doing the Premier League seasons in 2018 that 5 years down the line we'd be doing something called the Pig Odyssey,
and it would just be about
which
pigs.
Episode five or whatever this one is contains nothing at all about pigs.
No, because we're nearly at an end now, aren't they?
We're nearly at an end, and I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to N. Reitel, who is, it seems, one of the unsung heroes of British entertainment.
Yeah, he is.
Now, I mentioned he was on Spitting Image, right? Mid-80s. Here's a list of some of the voices N. Reitel did on Spitting Image. Prepare yourself. It's a long list. Geoffrey Howe, Cecil Parkinson, Robert Maxwell, Dustin Hoffman, Dennis Thatcher, Prince Philip, Paddy Ashdown, Michael Jackson, Dennis Healy, Nelson Mandela, Donald Sinden, Winston Churchill.
Wow.
Lester Piggott. Do you remember Lester Piggott on Spitting Image? He was great. They talked down his nose.
Very nasal, yeah.
David Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Guinness. Jack Straw. Kenneth Baker. Phil Cool. Phil Cool, who was an impressionist.
He himself.
Phil Cool did other people's voices.
Phil Cool worked on Spitting Image, I think, didn't he?
N. Reitel did Phil Cool.
That's really weird.
The list's almost over, but it's not yet. Pope John Paul II, David Attenborough, Mikhail Gorbachev, David Icke, Norman Tebbit.
Wow.
Neil Kinnock.
Wow.
Kenneth Clark. Yeah.
Kenneth Clark was a snail. Oh, no, that was Kenneth Baker. Yeah.
He probably did him as well. Yeah, he did him as well. Kenneth Baker. That's there as well. Kenneth Clark, Elton John, Laurence Olivier, Frank Bruno, Frank Boff, Richard Branson, Desmond Wilcox, Vincent Price, who was excellent on Spitting Image, Paul McCartney, and Prince.
Prince. The best of all of those, the characters that I remember, was Donald Sinden.
Yes, because he used to hang around with John Gielgud, didn't he?
Yeah, and they were just really competitive about who was the most...
That was Laurence Olivier.
Oh, yeah. No, but Sinden was always on about getting a knighthood, wasn't he? That was his obsession on Spitting Image.
Yeah. But he's been on so many things. And get this, he's still working. And he does voices on video games now.
Oh, and there's huge money in that, isn't there?
In 2022, N. Reitel appeared in the game Disney Dreamlight Valley, which I've not heard of. Maybe it's not even out yet. It says upcoming here on Wikipedia. And who did he play in Disney Dreamlight Valley? Fucking Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, legend. One of the all-time best characters.
Legend.
He's like a mad Scotsman, isn't he?
I think Scrooge McDuck needs to be deep-dived at some point. So there you are. That's N. Reitel, and he is clearly the king of the voices.
He's a great man. He's a great man.
One of the unsung heroes of comedy. We should probably try and track him down.
Yeah, I'm going to find that article I wrote as well to get pull out. I'll share that on the IFS or something.
Yeah. So that's the Pig Odyssey. A big shout out to our official pig advisor, Lewis Clare, who sent a video this week last week it might have been, of some of his pigs on his farm wallowing in mud because the weather had been so hot that he'd had to build some holes for them to wallow around in, full of water and mud, and that was nice to see. So there's some pig content.
It's one of my favourite things pigs do. It's up there in the pig's top three things, isn't it? Wallowing in mud.
Yeah, definitely. And next time we'll pick it up. I think we've got some more to talk about with the Tamworth too.
But, yeah, we haven't finished them yet. We don't know what happened to them in the end.
Who fucking knows where we'll end up? So thanks for listening. And
goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.